Let me again express appreciation for your being. We say it's welcome, we say it's good. It's good to get together, so we're glad that, glad to see you. Jim said I've been out for more. It's good to be back. I owe a debt of thanks to so many people, folks that have filled in for me and wished me well and covered for me and just took my place and stood in the gap. And so I say thank you to all those folks, and I suppose especially Christine. She had to help me for 3 weeks. She had to watch me being under the weather for so long. Help me over and over and over again. The lesson this morning comes from the text that was read to us, titled Following Again in the Steps of Jesus. In the text, especially verse 21, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, there's three phrases that I want to use for our introduction. The first phrase is where Peter said in verse 21, "For hereunto were you called." In other words, God has given us a goal. He's given us an objective. He's given us a purpose. To this were you called. Well, what is this? What's my purpose? What's the end? What am I supposed to do? To this you were called. Yeah, okay. The next phrase, referring to Jesus, left us an example. Left us an example. In other words, Jesus is the example. I'm going to say it so many times, I'm not the example. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, follow me, but then he added, as I follow Christ. Christ is the example. Sometimes you might want to look around and say, well, they don't attend, why should I? They're not your example. I don't see them praying very often, so why should I? Well, they're not your example. I don't see them involved in the ministry, but so why should I? Well, they're not your example. So many times we look around at other people and we set them up as the example. We say, if that's the way they're going to behave, then why can't I behave like that? They're not your example. To this were you called. This is the purpose. This is the end. Jesus is the example. And then the third phrase, that we should follow his steps. You don't follow mine unless I'm following Christ. You don't follow anybody's steps unless they're following Christ's steps. To this you were called, step number one. Christ left us an example. Follow his steps. I'm going to talk about four ways and what those steps look like this morning. First of all, and you may have it in your notes, but first of all, it's a way of obedience. What does the walk of Christ look like? What do the steps of Jesus look like? It's a pathway of obedience. And it's going to be a pathway of love. And number three, a pathway of separation. And then number four, a pathway of happiness. So here's what the steps of Jesus look like in these four ways. Number one, the way of Christ is the way of obedience. That was one of the themes of Jesus' life. He said concerning himself in John 4, verse 34, my meat, in other words, my food, my sustenance, my goal, my objective, my calling is to do the will of him that sent me to accomplish his work. All right, that's the way of Christ. Jesus, what do you want to do while you're here on earth? I want to do the Father's will. He said it again in John 6, verse 38. I came down to heaven not to do my own will. Say that, hear that again. Jesus, why you're here, not will. But the will of him that sent me. To this you were called. To this. This is the goal, the objective. Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane shows a pattern of living that serves as an example for us. He's about to go through the mock trial and the scourging and the crucifixion. So he leaves the disciples. He goes a little farther in. He bows down in his prayer is, Jesus, what's on your mind? I know what, he knows what's about to happen. But he says, but not my will. Thine be done. That's the way of Christ. That's the pathway of Jesus. To this you are called. Jesus, how did you walk? I walked the path of obedience. Not my will. Oh, I don't feel like doing this today. It's not your will. The will of the Father. Who rules your life when it comes to spiritual things? To this you were called. To this. Not my will. Not mine. Solomon said in the Old Testament in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I'd like to hear that. What's the conclusion of the whole matter, of all the concerns about life? Fear God, he said. Solomon said, I'll answer my own question. What's the conclusion of the whole matter? Fear God. Keep his commandments. It's a way of obedience. See, following Jesus means following his will. One time Jesus asked the question of those that were going to follow him. And he turns and he says in Luke 6, verse 48, why do you call me Lord? Well, that's a good thing. Hey, Jesus is calling you Lord. But then he said, but you don't do what I say. Good question. Good question. You see, those three things in that verse, to this you were called. Jesus left us an example. I'm not the example. Nobody else here is. But follow his steps. Follow his steps. That's what you were called to do. Follow his steps. Not your own will. Well, I don't feel like it today. It doesn't matter. You do the will of God. Well, don't feel like I'm up to it. You better be. You want to do the will of God. You walk in his steps. I'm not mad at you. But some people think of Christianity as the old commercial goes about a decade or so ago. I call it Burger King religion. Where Burger King came out with the advertisement, have it your way. And they had that little jingle, that song, hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. So we sometimes think of Christianity as a Burger King religion. I can just pick and choose what I like. I can just have it my own way. We see this smorgasbord of do's and don'ts in the Bible and how Jesus walks. It's, oh, Jesus, I like it when you walk that way. Jesus, I don't want to walk that way. So I'll ignore that one. Oh, but I liked it when you did that here. Oh, but not that. And that's the way some people view their Christianity and their walk with Christ. I'm going to have it my own way. Hold the pickles, God. Hold the lettuce. I have a special order. I want to do it my way. You weren't called to have it your own way. You were called to follow his example and walk in his steps. Number two, I gotta keep going with this. Number two, walk in the way of love. That's an easy one, isn't it? Well, finally, Brian, I can do that. Walk in the way of love. It was love that sent God's Son into this world. John, familiar verse of John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave us his Son. In Romans 5, verse 8, God commends his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, it says Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Yeah. I want to walk that way. In John 15, verse 17, Jesus himself said, greater love has no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. If I'm going to walk in the pathway of Jesus and walk in the steps of Jesus, it's going to involve some sacrifice. Again, going back to the attitude, God, I don't feel up to it today. It doesn't matter. You better sacrifice. Walking in the path of the Master. To this you were called. Not to have it your own way. Period. Follow his steps. A way of obedience. A way of love. Jesus said it in John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you. It was an old commandment that you love one another. But what makes it new? Jesus says, this is a new commandment that you love one another as I've loved you. love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Is the way that you're walking and walking in the steps of the Master displaying to your neighbors in your community that you're walking in Jesus' steps? By definition, love means that you're going to seek the best for somebody else. Love is a ministry of others. A way of love is looking out with, what do you need? I want your best interest. We love one another, says, what can I do for you? To this you were called, that you follow his steps. And so Jesus commanded those that would follow him, I want you to love one another, but you do it as I have loved you. You don't have it your own way. You do it as I have loved you. Number three. Walking in the steps of the Master is a way of separation. A way of separation. Jesus anticipated that his walk would be different from the world's walk. He knew that it wouldn't be the way the world thinks and the way the world does. So he says to his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 18, the world hates you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, remember the point is the way of walking in the steps of the Master is the walk of separation. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. The world doesn't like the way we walk. Thinking for a moment, just my own thought, but you know what the most hated biblical teaching is? What does the world hate the most about the biblical message? What's at the top of the list? It's that light has come into the world. Because light exposes darkness. And when light exposes darkness, it means we're going to have to make a change. That light is telling me that I'm going to have to behave differently. I'm going to have to walk a way of separation. I'm going to have to walk differently from the world. The world doesn't like that light came into the world. That's what Jesus said. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, and I've chosen you out of the world, to this you were called, not to walk in the ways of the world, not to have it your own way. Therefore, the world hates you. In 1 Peter 4, verse 4, Peter said, they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. And so they'll speak evil of you. That's right, we behave differently than the world does. We don't, now because to this we were called, we don't have it our own way anymore. We walk in the steps of the Master. We walk in the steps of Jesus. And he defines the way that we travel. He defines the way that we think. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Yeah. So now that we stay, now to this we were called, so now we have to not just walk differently, we think differently. And we have it a way of separation. The watchword is, you'll dare to be different. So the walk, when we walk in his steps, we walk a pathway of obedience. It's a pathway of love. It's a pathway of separation. We don't walk the worldly way. And then the last one, the way of Christ is the way of happiness. For too long, for too many people, following Christ has meant a life without joy. And they'll say, Brian, Christianity is just a bunch of rules to take away my happiness. No, it's not. That's a wrong conclusion. The God of the Bible never asks us to forsake something that's good for us. When God, through his biblical message, asks us to leave something, he only wants us to leave those things that will harm us, either physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. In Luke chapter 15, there's a story of a son who was prodigal. He wasted everything he had. He left the father's house. He went to a far country. And when he wasted everything he had, no one was going to give to him, and he became unhappy. Don't like the situation I'm in. So he realizes the joy that he had when he was with his father. It was an occasion of joy when he returned. You see, now you heard me use that phrase, salvation is always an occasion of joy. And in Luke chapter 15, there's three or four illustrations. Jesus tells a story when a woman finds the lost coin. She calls in the people and they rejoice because that which was lost is found. When the sheep that went astray was lost, and they went out and found it and brought it back in, it was meet to make merry. It was an occasion of rejoicing because that which was lost is found. In Luke 15, it tells the story that there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. There's joy. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. In Acts chapter 8, the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. And he preaches unto him of Jesus' message. And the Ethiopian says, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? Philip says, if you believe, you may. He said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip, immediately upon hearing that confession, says, stop the chariot. The Bible says he commanded the chariot to stand still. They both go down into the water, and Philip baptizes him. They come up out of the water, and the Ethiopian, the Bible says specifically, he goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Being on God's side. I don't know why people think that Christianity is drudgery or hardship. You know, the only time it'll be hard for you is when you drag the cross and not carry it. When you look at Christianity as a ball and chain, this is not good for me. You need to carry the cross. Deny self, as Jesus said. Follow him. Again, that verse in the introduction. To this you were called. To this. Jesus left the example. Walk in his steps. As Paul said, you can follow me, but only follow me when I follow Christ. It's a way of salvation. Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice. But where's the rejoicing? In the Lord. In the Lord. In Psalm 51, verse 12, David, committing a sin, he repents, and he's so sorry for it, and he comes to God, and in part of his prayer, in verse 12 of Psalm 51, he says, restore unto me, give it back to me, the joy of my salvation. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. So when you think about what the walk of Jesus looks like and walking in his steps, in today's lesson, it's a way of obedience. It's a way of love. It's a way of separation. Unlike the world, it's a way of joy. A way of joy. I hope you always see it that way. The psalmist said, you know, I was glad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. I want you to always see that our fellowship time together, our worship time together, is to be an occasion of joy. See it that way by walking in His steps. I'm going to sing a song of invitation, a song of exhortation, a song of encouragement. We do it at the close of every lesson. It's an opportunity for you to obey the good news, the gospel message. Jesus' last words before He ascended to the Father. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, He says, I want you to go into all the world. Preach a good news, a gospel message to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Matthew records it, that says, go into all the world, make disciples of every nation. Then He says, and Jesus tells them, this is how. Baptizing them in the name of the Father or by the heaven's authority. I'm not making this up. It's not my idea. Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then teach them. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. If you've not obeyed that already, you have that opportunity this morning. Just simply come to the front and let your request be known. When you come, I'll just have to close the song and say, what's on your mind? And you will say, Brian, I want to be baptized. And we can accomplish that. So let's stand together with elected for us. This is the invitation song, the song of encouragement, the song of exhortation. Please come, whosoever you are.